Okay, we're live.
Okay. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Heathen Hour podcast with your host, Godless Cranium, and I'm Kyle Curtis, filling in for Shannon, if that is possible. She is off with her sweetheart, so we wish her and him well. Hello, Shannon and Paul. Tonight we are doing a discussion on veganism, and I think it will kind of cover several different areas. And we have two really cool guests with us tonight. One of them is an electrical engineer. He's been on YouTube for 2.5 years, and his specialty is debunking bullshit pseudoscience. This is Inane Dragon. Hello, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that was nice.
Sounds like one of your videos. Look at that. Nice.
By the way, everyone, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Godless Cranium is Canadian. I
just
want to
put that out there. Just kidding. Reginald picked up on it.
He did. Speaking of the devil, this is Reginald. He used to have a show called the Infidel Guy. Is that correct?
That is correct.
12 years?
Mm-hmm.
And he specialized in reason, skepticism, criticizing religion, all that good stuff that we love around here.
Cheers, mate.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you guys kind of introduce yourselves, tell people about your channels and a little bit more about you, and then we'll get into the discussion. So, Reginald, let's start with you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, let me wake up here. I'm just kidding. It's been a long day. I'm currently now, after all those years, I am now doing, I'm now a science educator, and I teach biology, marine biology, astronomy, chemistry, and critical thinking, however, is my, that is my go-to area in every science class. We focus on critical thinking. So my whole objective is to continue to promote critical thinking. I think critical thinking more so than just content knowledge. It is, I think, where we need to go in our society. And so I'm currently in a doctoral program in science education, and that right now is my focus. And I hope to bring a radio program back one of these days when I can get time, probably after I finish my dissertation. But and right now I'm just here to just talk about veganism, why I'm vegan, and some interesting history about it that I think some folks would be interested in from an evolutionary biology perspective. And just have some fun with you wild and crazy guys.
Well, that's one way to put it. But you said a second ago that you like to do critical thinking. But I have to call you on that because you have a Clemson flag behind you.
Yes, I am. I have a master's in biology from Clemson University.
Okay. It's a joke. Okay, Inane Dragon, what say you, sir?
Well, first of all, I just got to say, mad respect to you, Reginald. I aspire to an education and a background like that. It would be awesome. But I am mere lowly electrical engineer with a decade or so in the field. Can't talk about my day job too terribly much, though. So I'll just say I debunk nonsense on the internet. I do not here because I consider veganism nonsense. I'm here to learn because I do not know a heck of a lot about veganism other than the very superficial moral and ethical arguments about it. Those superficial ones I don't find terribly compelling for a number of reasons. But also I'm here because Godless Cranium seems to have found my own opinions about meat eating to be one of the better arguments against saying that meat eating is immoral, if I will try to get Godless Cranium's opinion correct.
You did. So what were your, you had specific, if you don't mind, I don't know if it's too personal, but you had specific reasons why you're not a vegan, right, Inane?
Yes, actually, I have a health condition. It's a form of epilepsy where a major part of controlling that is my diet. And that diet has to be so heavy in protein and fat that even when you look at the meat substitutes out there, like the tofus and whatnot, you can't get that balance without adding in some chicken and some pork and whatnot. So I wouldn't necessarily die if I were vegan, but I'd sure as hell have a lower quality of life.
I know I would. I would die if I was vegan, for sure.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, what's what specific protein, I'm sure you know because this is your condition, what specific protein in meat that you have to have that is not found in adequate quantities in plant protein?
So as it was explained to me, it's not a specific protein, but rather the balance of the macronutrients. You can't get so much protein, like, hell were the numbers. Basically, it's a ketogenic diet that's relatively low fat. I know there are ketogenic diets that are vegan, but they are all relatively high fat from the ones that I've seen anyways.
So is it possible then that without modern technology, if you were born 3,000 years ago, you wouldn't be alive today?
Quite possible. Now, I don't know. Well, that's probably because of, that would probably be more my eyesight than...
Guilty as charged. Epilepsy. Same here.
But the epilepsy didn't really crop up until I would have been in the hunter-gathering stage of development rather than just relying on other people to hunt and gather for me. So theoretically, as long as I could get enough of that meat.
And it could be argued that they were gatherer hunters.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I imagine it probably depends on the exact ecological situation of any given band of humans.
Exactly right. And I was going to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. I think I think many people on all sides kind of miss this point, in that if you go back 2.5 million years ago, you see these populations of our early ancestors who had varied diets. They weren't just all meat eating. Some were insectivorous as well as plant eating. Some were primary plant eating, hardly any meat. And as we move closer and closer through the timeline to where we are today as modern humans, we do see a huge influx in meat, but that is relatively recent in the quantity as far as the span of our hominid ancestry. Would you agree?
Yes. If we were talking about one of those where you've got the, I don't know, one of the more gatherer than hunter societies, then your earlier statement about me probably not surviving,
right,
almost certainly true.
Indeed. Right. But once we started taking care of each other, right, and whatnot, we started putting those genes in the gene pool that might not have survived if it wasn't for our communal relationships. We talk about this in my biology class all the time, that I had LASIK surgery, but if I was born, say, 120,000 years ago, I would have walked off a cliff. or didn't see that big cat coming to kill me or something.
I've walked into more than enough things in my life to know I wouldn't have survived.
Indeed.
So there's a vegan on YouTube, and he has a basic argument. So I just wanted to get both of your thoughts on this one. So he calls it name that trait. It's a vegan by the name of Ask Yourself. And so his basic argument is that I'm paraphrasing, so I might get it wrong, but it has to do with, he asks, what trait would you find in a human that if you took that and applied it to an animal, that it would justify you killing it? For example, if you had some people might say, well, animals are less intelligent than humans. So if you had a less intelligent human, would that justify killing them? Most people would say no. So then how can you justify killing the animal for the exact same trait?
That's a bad argument.
Okay, so why do you think that would be bad?
First of all, I mean, there's this should argument that comes into play here. For one, obviously most human beings tend to identify other human beings via culture and how we look at each other. We identify a human as part of a human tribe, and so therefore we give humans all those rights and that we would give any other human being. Now, should we, is it possible that there are animals out there, for instance, that are probably more intelligent? I think this is where you're going with this, but they might have more capabilities, be more intelligent than some of the lower capable humans. How come we put those humans still on the pedestal versus these animals, which have proven that they have more neurological abilities or something like that? And if I think that's where he's going with that in some cases that is the case, so why is it justified to kill this cow but we would not kill a human?
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with tribe. It's a tribal mentality. So we know why, but then the answer comes in, should we? And of course, as a vegan, of course, I would argue, well, I think that cow should have respect as a living being who should be free from harm, at least undue harm, as any organism. That I don't think any organism should die unnecessarily. So I don't think that means we should kill like a human that's, you know, some mentally incapacitated quadriplegic or something. That doesn't make any sense either. So it's a convoluted argument that he's making, which is probably why it's difficult to follow up with.
Yeah, that's basically his thing. I've also heard him argue that, like, for your higher intelligence thing, he's argued, like, well, would it be okay for an alien species just say that visits Earth and realizes that we're lower on the intellect scale and decides that they would kill it? Would that be ethical for them to kill us? Would we think
to them ethical? They might think so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So I guess would it be fair to say that if you were to name that trait, the trait would be humanity? Like, you're very, that's the thing that we put above everything else?
Of course we do. Of course we do. It's obvious that we do that. I mean, so
I gotta agree. It's definitely a case of historically and even today, most people who are saying that there is no ethical reason to be a vegan are doing so out of a sense of, well, we're human, and therefore we should take care of each other. We have a moral responsibility to each other. They're not human.
Exactly.
They're drawing what amounts to an arbitrary line.
Tribalism. Mm-hmm.
Based on the ability to fuck one another.
Yes. And it's tribalism and it's speciesism. It is, I am different. We are different than you. We are of this ilk. You are not of this ilk. You are lesser than us. It sounds very familiar. It's a very familiar theme. And therefore, we can do what we wish to do with you. It is just our very nature. So there are tons of historical fallacies involved in this and just bad logic all around. I say, why not extend that love, care, and compassion to other animals as well? Who's being harmed by doing that?
It's hard to really argue that point. But why did you become a vegan?
Well, honestly, I became vegan more so because I found, for me, I discovered that I was kind of being a hypocrite. It was hard to say that I love animals, and then I participate in things in which animals are being tortured, maimed, mutilated, and destroyed for really no reason. And when I began to realize that I was contributing to that, I realized it was time to stop. And I remembered an argument once by Dan Barker, who argued about moral, like why be moral as an atheist. And I remember that in his concept of atheism and morality, that he said that his view is to generate the least harm possible. He's not trying to be perfect. He's not trying to be a perfect moral being, but he wants to generate the least harm that he can during his tenure on this planet. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that fits exactly though with veganism. And I just could not deny that I am contributing in unnecessary harm, pain, misery, death, and torture for absolutely no reason. Well, at the time, I didn't know that was for no reason. I said, I believe maybe I have to eat meat. Maybe there are certain populations of humans that absolutely have to, so therefore they have no choice. It's either them or them. So I started looking into it, and I realized, you know what, in a first world country, don't eat meat. And so once I realized there was no reason for me to contribute, at least consciously and purposefully, to that, then I decided to just stop doing it, to stop eating meat.
Can you speak to the benefits? Like, if you were trying to convince somebody to go vegan, what would you say the benefits are for you? Because I know that you're probably going to get questions like, you know, like if you're working out or you play sports or whatever, how are you going to get those vitamins and that kind of thing?
Yeah, the first thing, yeah, it's a good argument. I mean, well, good question. And the first thing I'll say first is I'm not a nutritionist, and I don't even argue health arguments for veganism. There are a few. I tell them to go to Google Scholar, learn to do some research, and see what the studies show you. If you want to live on average an additional of 3 to 5 years, or live a better quality of life for the same amount of time, then veganism may be the way to go.
But what about for you personally? Like, can you speak to any that you've experienced?
Oh, yes, yourself? Indeed.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't like anecdotal arguments. I try to stick to the scientific, which is why I don't like using them, because then
sure,
they all
we're not arguing
the same argument.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I will.
Well, I mean, argue as in I am arguing for a position, which I am. I'm, you know, but
yeah.
Know.
Fair enough. We're curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I'm sorry. What was the question again? I have ADHD. You have to forgive
me. That's okay. the benefits that you've experienced yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And again, this hasn't been scientifically tested, but I was diagnosed having an H. pylori infection many years ago, and it stayed with me. And I thought I was going to die, because this bacterium can enter your esophagus and create cancer by embedding itself into the lining. And when last time I got tested was a year before I went vegetarian, and it was still present through a breath test. And then when I went vegan, the very last test I had, which was a year ago, they said it was gone. Now, this sounds like faith healing, so I don't like these arguments. I wish I could actually scientifically test that, but that is just one thing. Also, my blood pressure went down. I thought it was going to go up because I was killing some chips. But, you know, I mean, everything, the last medical exam I had was a perfect bill of health, you know, and when the doctor said, you know, what are you doing? Do you exercise all the time? I was like, no, but I am vegan. He says, oh, okay, interesting. And so, and that's not uncommon. And I think, however, the problem is people who have been vegan, and I know that there's a Facebook group out there for vegans who almost, like ex-vegans who almost died or something like that. Let me make sure that I want some of you listeners to understand that if you were in poor health before and you expected veganism to be the panacea for you, that was your error. And there are still a lot of things people have to do to change their way of life. Exercise, diet, maintain. Still, even veganism can kill you if you're eating the wrong things. And there are people who are like, veganism almost killed me because I was eating crackers and drinking water and eating broccoli every day and almost died. Yeah, of course you did.
If I may add into this.
Sure.
In agreement with Reginald, which I'm sure the audience is hating, if you were ever going to make a giant change in your lifestyle, like when I first got serious about going on a ketogenic diet to help control my epilepsy, do so with doctors assisting. Make the change in a staggered, reasonable way that will allow you to not only make the change, but do it safely and sustain it.
Yep. Kidney stones, isn't that one of the possible things that can occur if you don't do it correctly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of risks. I mean, going to the anecdotal arguments, when I was being good about it, and I will hold my hand up and say, yes, I am not doing that great on the diet I'm supposed to be on. I'm close enough to it that it still mostly helps, but fast food is just too easy too often. I need to get better about that, need to cut down the booze, yada, yada, yada. However, when I was doing it correctly, when I was being good about it, I was at the healthiest in my life. And that kind of gets back into, but that's not to deny the risks, but that gets back into something Reginald brought up a lot earlier about we have, if you go back in time, we had hunter-gatherers, we had gatherer-hunters, we probably had areas where, you know, you mentioned the insectivore dietary practices and whatnot.
Right.
Genes for all of those different lifestyles are probably scattered throughout the human genome. So really, if you're talking about health effects, it's probably going to come down to the individual person, just what the right diet and lifestyle is.
Very good.
You're going to have to play around and find that balance that gets you to a healthy spot.
Very good. And I love how you mentioned that, you know, we have, and forgive me if I break up a little bit, someone I think is on my internet connection here, but we have a wide variety of genes, you're right, that gives us adaptability to a wide variety of diets. And one in particular that I can think of is milk, the ability to digest milk, right? And we know that, or should I say, milk is really the lactose. Sugar. And some humans have difficulty doing that, some can't at all, some, hey, no problem. And it really just depends on the population. Humans, at a certain point, the genes usually were turned off after weaning. And yet, because milk was so prevalent, and so those humans who just happen to have a mutation to be able to digest milk, you know what? they did great, and they passed that gene on to the next generation. And those who could do just fine without it, though, although it might have been present, that gene might have mutated in such a way where it gave them some problems. Nice healthy bowl of cereal, and they have diarrhea. So, So humans have a wide variety of abilities and adaptability to different diets. But those are the historical arguments. Those are the health arguments. And again, for me, I would argue as a vegan, is it even necessary, though, to eat meat? What benefits do most humans really get out of it in a first world country? And do we not just want to just stop the pain, misery, suffering, and death and torture of innocent animals?
Tell me why being a vegetarian isn't enough, and kind of explain the differences between those two.
Well, one reason that some people will argue is that vegetarians, though they mean well, the problem is they still engage in many of them eating fish, eggs, and drinking milk. And so therefore participating in the same horrible system that takes advantage of animals. In fact, more so, not even worse than take advantage. I mean, these animals all still die in horrific ways. And I think people think of the products of the animals and not the raising of them and what they have to go through to produce what humans are, take from them. And I shouldn't even say produce in many respects, because we are raping animals on purpose. We're taking their livelihoods from them in their lives. We're breeding them just to kill them. And it's just not necessary in America.
This kind of talk is going to be really hard for me, because I'm the type of person that when the Sarah McLachlan commercial comes on, the Humane Society on TV, I have to turn on the commercial. but I think it's an important point to make. I am conflicted myself, because I'm a huge animal lover, but I'm not a vegan. And I know. I can feel your face right now.
I can feel your face.
And it's not that's not true. I think we put blinders on in society and don't think about it. But when you stop and you think about it, then no one with a really good conscience and has their wits about them, I think, could be okay with some of the things that go on. But we're in kind of a dire situation, because I mean, it's unreversible, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's no way that you're going to get everyone, on the planet to follow this.
Well, to be fair to Reginald, I don't think he's looking for everyone on the planet, but people in first world countries where you could hypothetically sustain the agriculture necessary. This actually defanged one of the things I had been thinking about that some vegans will pull about how, it's the always and absolutely morally right to reduce eating meat or eliminate eating meat. And one of the legitimate counterpoints to that argument is that you have to have a certain level. It's a privilege to be a vegan. You have to have a certain kind of privilege in the modern kind of a sense. I mean, obviously,
as an access.
Yes, that is the meaning I intended with that.
Right. Right.
So my question, I'm trying to think of questions like from somebody who is not wanting to give up meat, but ask somebody who's a vegetarian, a vegan, excuse me.
There is, and maybe vegans have an answer to this, there's a very interesting knock-on effect if you eliminated animal farming in Western advanced societies. Where do you get heart valves for patients that can't accept a mechanical heart valve transplant? You get them from pigs. You eliminate pig farming. Now you have patients who cannot get medical treatment if they cannot accept that mechanical heart valve.
And all that would do is usher in new technology. So maybe we could clone those valves or hearts that are necessary to
do
that.
We're getting to that point, but there's a trick to that too.
Sure.
The technology, as I understand it, and I've only briefly looked at this in the journal Science. All of that technology basically requires growing a pig from embryo, but you do, at a certain point in the embryological development, they basically pull out the cells that would become the pig's heart.
For now.
And they inject stem cells that have had the person's DNA inserted into it, and I'm probably doing a hash of explaining.
I understand. It, but... Yeah, I know the process. And I mean, for now, and I think that's one thing people forget, that again, that comes from this idea that vegans want, and of course we do, magically, we really want the whole world right. to be able to if go vegan. Can... But yeah. the reality is, this is not going to happen. And just because we have technological hiccups doesn't mean we can say, F it. All right, I'm just going to eat chicken today. And I think that's the problem. I think some people argue that, though. They go, but what about this? So they point to all these exceptions in which veganism may be impossible, and so therefore meat is okay. That is a fallacious argument. It just means that we do not have the capability, perhaps now, but that does not mean in the future we cannot, and that also does not mean that we should not do other things, though, to help usher in the lessening of the pain, torture, misery, and death of innocent beings.
I would actually agree with all of that, Reginald.
Yep.
My argument is more against those people who just kind of... It's against the small-minded vegan gain style veganism of everyone go vegan now or else you're a murderer.
Vegan gains is something else. I love his videos because I swear it's almost like you're on drugs when you watch Vegan Gains. And Vegan Gains, if you watch this, I love you, brother. But I tell you what. He's all over the place. You're all over the place, and I think it's hard for some people to take you seriously. You obviously have he has a highly intellectual mind. He knows how to do the research, but then he has some weird video in which he has a wig on and lipstick, and he does parodies of people. And I think it just really it hurts the mature, I think, vegan that is really trying to reach an audience in a way that is sane and rational and also inviting and loving and sharing. You know, I just want to share this with everybody to see where I'm coming from. Again, I'm not going to run into a restaurant and kick a hamburger out of your mouth. But if we're going to have the conversation, I hope that people are open-minded enough to kind of share and gain something from what I have to say.
If you do that and you do kick a hamburger out of somebody's mouth, I want it on YouTube, please.
I think you're doing a good job of representing veganism for sure.
Well, thank you.
What about somebody that would say that they can't afford to go vegan because you have that kind of they say that it's a lot more expensive. How would you respond to that?
It's more expensive? No, it is not. It's more expensive when you're buying like Gardein meals, all these prepackaged meals, and all that stuff. I always love to remind people. You are aware that most of what you eat is vegetation, right? So how can that be more expensive? Those Pop-Tarts without the frosting, that's vegan. And you eat that every single day. The grits you're eating, that's vegan. So it's like, unless you put a whole bunch of animal fat on it, but there are vegan butters that taste just the same. But anyway, so when people try to say that, it depends on where you live. In some portions of the planet, it is very expensive. Vegetables are just too high because they might live in a climate in which they can't grow vegetation, so it's ridiculous. And so they may have half their diet might be something that's meat-based. I get that. In some areas, in fact, as you know, the further north and south you go, you start seeing more and more meat eating. That's understandable. That's part of the culture. That doesn't mean, however, that that is optimum for human existence. And I think that is another issue, but that's another fallacy I think people do as well. They point to civilizations in which people can't do things like afford it or whatever, or they might say that's all they have. Sure, they can survive on those things, but that's not for optimum health. Sorry, I kind of changed gears there. But
I will say, I had intended and wanted to go buy a couple of grocery stores today just as a curiosity, not as a this is a definite argument for or against veganism, but just as a curiosity to price out a full day's worth of calories, meat or balanced diet, however you want to look at it, versus trying to do the same thing vegan and just see how the numbers stack up. Because it's an argument I hear a lot is the expense argument.
Right.
But it's not one that I've seen hard data on. And I know it would be a very limited, I mean, it would be Portsmouth, Virginia.
Right.
But it would still be interesting, just as a single data point. Hey, here's how they price out around here.
And there are tons of videos actually on YouTube where I call them the professional vegans. I mean, these are folks who, to the nickel or to the penny, I mean, they have it down. They know all the farmers markets to go to, and they spend way less than I do, but they love to cook. I don't like to cook, so I am buying a lot of gardening meals. I am privileged in that I can do that. However, if I could cook, I probably would save more money. But some people also say, yeah, but they go bad fast. You know, there's nothing that says you can't grind up what it is and freeze it. You can freeze a lot of stuff too. And people think, that's one argument you hear people say as well, is that, well, those foods go bad. Well, you can freeze those.
Yeah, get a chest freezer, Patty.
Right, right. So as far as I can tell, it just depends on what you're buying and where you live in the world.
Now, that being said, well, first, before I get on to that, one statement out of chat that I think we can all agree on from Clade Starfish: vegan or not, factory farming is horrific and we can do better.
No doubt.
As a person who eats meat, I agree with that sentiment and I go out of my way to avoid CAFO and factory farmed meats. Ugh. Whenever I can, I get away from that shit. Local butchers, to use a term we've been throwing around a lot that's probably triggering some people, I'm privileged enough to live in an area where I actually can drive to a farm and buy a steak in a cow that I know how it was raised, I know how it's going to be slaughtered, and I can make it the most ethical decision that I can within the limits of what's available to me.
Mm-hmm. Fair point. I think that's a fair point.
There's also in the chat, and this is a common objection I've heard, is that since we've raised, say, cows for meat, what would happen if we just, if you could wave that magic wand and everybody just decided that they were going to be vegan, what would we do with all those animals? Because wouldn't they die on their own?
Good question. And I love it when people ask this question. Well, we have to remember that we are the ones cycling. We are the ones cycling these animals through like this. We're the ones that's raising them, breeding them, inseminating them. So if we stop doing that, they would simply die and stop having babies, and we would no longer need to worry about that. But also, again, this argument, even if, let's say that today, I wouldn't do this, vegans, forgive me for saying this, but even if today, if I were to go out and shoot every single farm animal there is right now, I would have saved billions that year.
Wow.
That might make you the worst vegan ever.
Well, you're right. Billions
of I'm only joking.
You're a hero.
But before Nain goes on to the point that he was going to go to, I just have one serious question. You started to say something, and you said before I go into all that. But there's a question that I had personally that I just have to know the answer to, and I'm dying to know. Do you get weak around bacon? That's for you.
That's for me? Do I get weak around bacon?
Does the smell of bacon not make you weak?
Does your veganism weaken in the presence of the most holy bacon, is what he's asking.
You know what?
It's got to.
You know, it's strange. When you go vegetarian and vegan, you start to smell things differently. You really start smelling a little bit of that anus and feces in the food. It's the weirdest thing, and I'm not making that up. You can ask anybody who's been vegan or vegetarian for a while.
Oh,
it's something, it just smells different. And it's kind of disgusting, you know, and you just kind of go, wow, that's just nasty. And so for me, it does smell. Do I get weak? I get disgusted because I know where it came from, and I know that an animal had to suffer to that, you know, I can't even say to produce that. That's the wrong term. But an animal died for them to extract that from them. And I just get disgusted by it. I don't like to smell. I don't drive by a Burger King, right? And you smell, they blow all that, you know. I don't go, my mouth doesn't water. Granted, it used to. When I first became vegetarian about 4 or 5 years ago, my mouth watered every time I smelled grilling. And it really wasn't until about 2 years ago, right around maybe a little bit more than 2 years ago, but right after I became vegan, I started noticing the differences in the smells. And it's not even psychological, right? I'm not saying, oh my gosh, the animals are just being harmed, and what a horrible place. It's just disgusting to me. I just cannot stand the smell of it.
Huh. Okay. So it's a tough place to be in, I think, because I agree with almost every one of his points, but I don't think I have the willpower to cut that completely out. I mean,
that's why I said it's important that, I mean, again, granted, I think some people should almost say it that way. I understand if some people have to, like, if you live in an island and all hypothetically, all you have is pineapples and palm, all right, and you fish, you're going to eat fish.
Yeah.
And I can't fault you for that. Now, if I have the money, and if I want to educate you and tell you, oh, look, this mercury is screwing up your nervous system, let me help you, let's ship you some cheap vegetation and show you all these different vegan meals we can make you so that you can still be healthy, I would do it in a heartbeat. But at the same time, I can't fault them for eating fish.
Also, as a vegan, do you have to take supplements, Reginald?
No, I don't take any supplements whatsoever.
Oh, that's interesting.
None. That's what. When I hear this, it's like, what? I mean, I go out to the sushi restaurant with my wife to get my B12. I tear some seaweed up. All right, I don't need to take a vitamin for B12.
Maybe that's the first time that sentence has ever been said. I'm going to tear some seaweed up.
The vitamins thing has actually been, that was one of the things I looked into because I had heard the argument before and just wanting to try and understand what other people say in opposition to veganism, I kind of tried to look at some of these things.
Right.
And it comes down to, if you're small-minded and eat only American vegetables, yeah, a vegan's going to need some goddamn supplements.
Indeed.
But if you broaden your horizons and you look at what's available by engaging in, well, basically international trade, then you can find something for just about every damn thing. I haven't seen something you cannot replace.
Thank you very much.
Other than getting, for some people in certain situations, the macronutrient balance. I can never find a way to get the carbs low enough without bringing the fat too high to go back to me as the, you know, anecdotal example.
Right. Understood.
What are your views on honey?
I hate hunters. No, I was kidding.
not hunters.
Honey. I would almost think that hunters and hunting is more moral than most people going to a supermarket.
Not hunting, honey. Like bees.
Oh, honey, bees.
Oh, I thought you said hunting with an apostrophe.
Yeah, we thought you were using your weird southern accent.
Yeah, it's too much southern accent.
Listen, you have no room to talk about weird accents, Mountie.
You know what? Let's talk about both. Can we talk about hunting since we brought it up? And then hunting?
1 second, Godless Iwin, give it to the chat.
I did like you, Reginald. I did like you.
He said, tear up some seaweed. That's communist.
All right, so hunting.
Yeah, let's get into hunting. So what's your thoughts on hunting?
I think there are some animals that we may need to eradicate because they are, if they spread disease and are a plight to a civilization or a population of people in which many people are dying because they're spreading disease and we can't trap them, we can't deter them, there may be circumstances, speaking strictly philosophically, that we may need to send a crew out and just take them out. However, if we can think of humane methodologies to remove animals, then I think that is where we should go. And at that point, nature, hopefully, will take its course and do what it needs to do. But we also have to remember, and I think a lot of people forget this, that a lot of the imbalances that we see in nature are our fault in the first place. It's our fault. And then we go, there are just too many wolves, too many deer, too many this. Like, we're one of the primary catalysts involved in this process. We're isolating them. We're forcing populations together. We're taking more and more land, and then we wonder why we have all these problems with wildlife. You know, is that we got to kill these foxes, we got to kill this coyote because they're doing so and so. They've been roaming that land for thousands of years. You just move in and set up a shop, and now they're eating out of the dumpster. And they may attack some person who walked by. That's wrong. But now you want to send out a posse to kill all of them? It's complicated. I can understand it. But I think a lot of our problems we set up ourselves. Now, that said, hunting for sustenance. If you absolutely have to hunt your meals, if you don't know how to, I don't know, rip a tuber out of the ground, and you think, for whatever reason, you have to hunt animals, and that's the only way you can survive in your family, I understand. Like the Inuit, I get it. You got to hunt, you have to survive. But I think most hunters don't have to. I think they do it for fun.
Well, I got to defend my Southern American social group instead of the Canadians. Fuck the Canucks.
I don't. I'm with you on the hunting thing.
Well, the reason I got to defend them is that I knew quite a few people who hunted quite literally to supplement what they could afford to purchase in a supermarket. That is not uncommon in the Southeast America, particular, the farther you get from a city.
Indeed. Bullets are cheaper. Sure.
And on top of that, half of them would use their excess deer allowance to help feed the poor.
I know people who do that. Yes.
So I'm not arguing against Reginald's overall point.
You're showing the exceptions.
I'm trying to show the exceptions that break the rule, if you will.
Of course. As free thinkers, we should do that. And I appreciate that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something that my students have talked to me about. I have a lot of students who are hunters or have hunting families or have a hunting background, and they talk about that. And just like I will say right now, I don't really have an argument for that. Again, however, in the future, there just may be ways to provide sustenance for these groups where they don't have to do that. But
sure.
If absolutely they have to, then I support them in that decision, although I feel really, really bad for the animals that have to be killed.
Now, I will note, though, that does kind of create a category distinction.
Yes.
The fact that we all agree a human life is worth killing an animal for, if you have to, means that even you, Reginald, are privileging the human over the animal.
Of course I am.
And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to gotcha you with that.
I've always said that.
Yep. I would favor some humans over animals. There are some humans that would.
That is true. We would all put a fucking bullet in Hitler.
In Reginald's defense, he did say at the very beginning, with both the name, the trait, that his trait would be humanity. Would be the trait that would be the thing that would.
Okay, fair enough. I think I missed part of that.
Obviously we value ourselves. I mean, even pet owners to some degree. If they don't rescue a pet, if they're just buying dogs for the particular breed, this is all about us. It's not about the dog. So, I mean, so it just trips me out how it seems like humans really are focused a lot on, we're all part of the tribe.
Wow, that was a good point, though.
So human beings, go ahead.
To be fair, that's still a little bit better than most animals will do. Because the majority, not all. I know we have plenty of examples of morality and ethics amongst animals, particularly... I think we see some with dolphins, even though they rape a bitch.
Elephants.
We see some with elephants and with primates.
Wait. You can't just say that and gloss over it.
But that's the fun of it.
Dolphin rape is the fun of it? I'm confused.
Yeah, you said that like he was talking about
glossing over it.
There's a soundbite.
Okay, all right.
So for Kyle's edification, the usual dolphin mating ritual is for a group of males to get together and find a female.
Yeah.
And while most of the guys basically corral her in, one of the guys has the privilege of taking her against her will.
Right.
I hate you for telling me that. I'll never look at another dolphin the same now.
Yeah, they're not cute.
Bad. Reginald, what about honey? I'm interested to get your thoughts on honey.
Wow. Yeah. This can get a bit tricky here. Well, I don't eat honey. Instead, I will use plant nectar or something like that, which could also be bad because then bees can't forage if you.
Yeah, you're depriving the bees.
Right. Exactly. So that can be tricky as well. But then again, I don't eat much of that either. As honey is not that a vital component in my life, I don't do it personally. Now, as far as how can I
What's the this? Argument against honey, though? Because
the argument is you're basically forcing an organism to do something that you want to do for the betterment of your own personal desires, once again, for no real reason, that you don't have to do it. You're just doing it. So you're basically enslaving bees to produce something for you that isn't yours.
Reginald, I see that a little differently, and I think it might help you, because mead is an important part of your daily diet. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a little bit more accurate to say that we are actually in a symbiotic relationship than an exploitative relationship with bees. We provide them with a hive environment, and we only take excess honey, not honey the hive needs.
Because we breed them that way.
Yes. Well, more accurately, because we have bred them that way.
Well, right. Exactly. Exactly. So we have still exploited the nature of bees for our own benefit.
We have not. Our forefathers have.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. The human species.
So if we modern humans stop supporting them, then we are basically committing a new crime because we have a responsibility to the honeybee. We have our ancestors forced this on them. They now depend on us for their continued success.
Couldn't you use that same argument for the cow? Like, that's what Reginald was saying before, right? Because we force those cows to be like that. So, is it our responsibility to...
Well, we don't kill the bees.
No bee was harmed in the harvesting of the honey.
Oh, they die, all right.
They just go, like, their merry way and do their thing. I mean, you can't control a bee, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't... he's got a good point.
You use smoke to get them to settle down and get out of your way, basically.
Yeah, and they're there. I mean, look, if we stop doing what we're doing, then that entire bee population dies out.
Right. But again, the difference between bees and cows, I want to make sure I'm clear, is that, first of all, cows in a first world country, we do not necessarily need to make them. We don't need cow meat. Most humans, most Americans don't need it. So, they could pretty much all die out and human civilization would keep on rocking.
That's kind of selfish, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, we're killing off the cows so that we don't eat any more meat so that we can feel ethically superior.
No, it's not selfish at all. It's actually the exact opposite because
it's not selfish to kill animals.
We are ceasing the senseless...
I thought that was my argument.
No, I was saying that because we're actually saving many other future populations.
Populations that won't be born, though, right?
Billions and billions of organisms that we are breeding for our sole purposes. If we stopped these breeding programs, then we are technically saving billions of lives.
Death is the same as not living, right?
But it's not about the torture aspect, I think, more so.
The torture aspect, I agree.
I'm trying to hear your argument. To me, I think it's a simple math problem, and maybe I'm wrong because I guess I'm not good at math. But if every year we are slaughtering billions and billions of animals, and so therefore, let's say within a week, that's 7 billion animals, and then let's say that we phase out doing that and we stop doing that, doesn't it mean that next year we didn't slaughter 7 billion more animals? I don't understand.
Well, we preemptively slaughtered them by never letting them live in the first place.
That could be better, though, I think.
Death and not being born are the same thing. There's no afterlife.
Preemptively.
But his point is that those animals aren't going to have to be born into a situation where they're going to be tortured and then put to death.
But that gets into the type of farming you use, though. Well, there are ways to kill an animal before it ever feels any pain. If the objective is to minimize suffering and minimize pain, whilst maximizing the enjoyment of an organism, the life of an organism, you can raise cows in an environment where they enjoy their life,
and then, bam,
you get them with the bolt gun, which kills them before they can feel any pain.
If they're lucky.
I knew people who actually worked this job.
I did too.
I was making more of a point towards the with the beast thing. They're here and they're not being like they're free to go and come and go as they want to. They're there and it's not like we're enslaving them and not letting them out of the hive or harming them. That was my argument for that. And now I understand what he's saying about how there's no need for these countless generations to be born and be killed. I think that is a lot better than actually being born and being put in those.
Or being not born at all. I think there is a distinct difference between the two. I would rather not have been born than to be tortured for my existence.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, if we're talking about being tortured for the duration of your existence, then sure. We all agreed factory farming, bad. We're not talking about that.
You're only arguing more better. You're only arguing better ways to do it. I'm not disagreeing with you that there are better ways to do it. I'm arguing, is it necessary?
He's trying to get the death toll down.
But yeah, at that point, is it even necessary?
But this is where I get into the whole death toll concept. If being dead, if the state of being dead is the exact same as the state as of not having ever lived, is it not better? Would anyone on this call rather they had never experienced life?
That's a category of error.
With those kind of conditions, yes, absolutely.
You're arguing the end state. Yeah, you're arguing the end state, but not the process before the end. Right?
I agree with you that the current process of, say, factory farming...
And I agree with you in that there are better ways to do it.
But Reginald's point is, if you're going to do it better way, why do it at all? You know, if you're going to eliminate the factory farms, why not just go ahead and take care of it all and not have to go through the process at all? Like, why raise something to kill it? Is what
exactly right? What's the point? Like, we can make ad hoc arguments, but I'm just my whole thing is like, what's the point in the first place? If you absolutely need to, I'm all with you. But if you don't have to.
What's the point? I agree that there are going to be a whole bunch of subjective opinions of what that point is. I was only attempting to address the claim that you are somehow saving lives by not letting them have lived at all.
Okay, well...
How do you save a life? Because you said earlier, if you killed all the cows in the world...
No. Okay, well, let me qualify.
You would save billions.
Potential lives.
But I don't care about potential lives. I masturbate. I don't care about those sperm. I don't care about potential lives. I care about actual ones.
So in a year, over 7 billion more animals will be destroyed for human consumption. And
sure,
so
in a year, 7 billion lives will be created.
For killing again.
Okay, but you're perfectly fine arguing about the end state. I'm interested in what they get in between the beginning and the end. Like I am for any living human. And I agree that CAFO farming is horrible and we should avoid it.
All right, so let's address that then. So you think that it is possible then that we could raise animals, 7 billion plus animals on this planet, the same way that you're discussing right now? Is that even feasible? Is that ecologically plausible? Logistically possible?
No. I don't think that we would still be raising 7 billion in a better system in terms of treating them better and giving them a better life. And I'll agree with that, again. But you're talking about going from 7 billion lives that have been lived, and yes, that shouldn't have been lived in those kinds of horrible conditions, to zero.
No, hold on. Let's make sure that make a distinction. Again, I don't expect it to be instantaneous. It would be a gradual phase out. Let the animals currently in production simply live out their lives. If they expire, they expire. Even the meat. If someone wants to eat the meat, go ahead. Let them eat the meat. But just don't artificially inseminate these animals and put them back into this horrible system for absolutely really no reason.
All right. I appreciate the clarification.
So Duke Bonanza asked two questions in the Super Chat. So he asked, what was the first question here? I'm just scrolling. How are we harming the bees? So I'm guessing that's for you, Reginald. And also he added, bees do not have an understanding of enslavement. They simply do what they do. How is it exploiting them by extracting honey that they won't miss?
I love how honey was the most controversial part of this.
Yeah.
It's because it's a borderline issue. It's walking that border.
It really is. It's almost like if we found a species of colonial spider, which does exist, and they produce silk, and we took their silk from them, how is that exploiting them? Well, if you look at exploitation on a sliding scale, now they may not be aware of the exploitation in some subjective way, but we're still exploiting them. So bees, it will be the same way. It's just not in the same level of exploitation that we will look at it abstractly. So I would say, yeah, we're still doing that. Now, how are we harming them? Well, again, I told you, I don't argue for the whole bee thing, but I'm trying to think of it in a way that they would. So forgive me for my fellow vegans listening who argue again for the salvation of the bees. They are out there, they exist, and they don't like me sometimes. But,
oh man, I believe it. I believe anything now.
But I think more ramen,
not because of Reginald.
Yeah, but again, I think at its basic though, that is the issue. Whether or not, and some will even argue levels of sentience, of course, but those are all arguments I won't defend. So I will leave it there. I am not in a position right now to argue for not using bees for honey. I just know personally I don't do it, and I don't think there's a reason why humanity necessarily needs to do it unless, actually I can't think of a reason why we really need to use bees at all either, except for maybe helping them pollinate our
I think we have a moral obligation to continue the bee species that we have created. We owe it to them to help them out, and the only way to make that economically viable in the long term is to continue to use honey.
This discussion has been quite the buzz, I think.
Well, what do you think about, we created them, what do you think about dog breeds then, using your argument that we created them and so we should continue to support them? What do you think about breeding dogs for specialized, like, mutts and stuff in there? What do you think about that, just breeding?
So, here's the fundamental difference between breeding an animal for its looks and continuing to use an animal as it exists.
Mm-hmm.
You do not do any harm to any canine by allowing them to continue to exist and to breed without artificially segregating them by breed.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that somebody in the chat might be confused by me using breed in two different sentences in that sentence. But there is nothing about a dog that is being harmed by becoming a mutt. In fact, the genetic diversity, as I understand it, is improved by allowing them to interbreed, allows them certain disease resistances.
Pathogenic resistance, yes. Well, it depends on the breed, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it also avoids the, I'm going to use cats because it's something I know. If you breed Persian cats too much into the same breed, you actually create genetic problems where their noses get too short.
Right.
And they start to have health issues because of that. Mm-hmm. And therefore, despite having created these breeds, these subspecies, it is actually, from the cat or the dog's perspective, better to allow them to return to a more homogenous, not necessarily completely homogenous, but a more homogenous dog species, cat species, what have you.
Right.
Whereas for the bees, if we were to stop supporting some of these breeds of honeybee, they would literally go extinct, as I understand it.
And maybe I'm wrong. We'd be screwed.
Yeah, and I'm just not so sure about that. Again, that's an area I have to research. I'm trying to figure out why is it we couldn't release these queens into their natural habitats and do the things that they do, and the species still survive. So I don't quite understand why they are dependent on honeycombs.
I hope they'll survive because it was a big deal last year, I think, or the year before. They had a big article in National Geographic about the shortage of bees.
I thought that one had more to do with the pesticides we were using.
Yes, it did.
Sure, yeah. I'm just saying, you know, it's not that we can just get rid of the bees.
Yeah,
you know?
I think we gotta be careful too. When we start talking about shortage, are we talking about shortage because of they're not producing enough honey for us? Or
it was a risk to the pollination of plants and to the sustainability of beehives.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay.
The bees.
You know, and by the way, if the bees were to go extinct, we would still have plenty of pollinators out there. And I probably just offended my bee scientists out there, but just as a little fact, mosquitoes also pollinate plants.
Okay, why can't you be anti-mosquito and not anti-bee?
I love mosquitoes.
Zero asked a question as a super chat. He said, is it ethically wrong for ants to milk aphids? Also, praise the sun. I should never have told people I'm playing Dark Souls.
That is too funny.
But do you make a distinction, Reginald, between different species besides humans? Like, do you say that, like, a pig, for instance, might be more valuable or more able to suffer than, say, a bee or an ant or something like that? Do you have, like, a hierarchy?
In a way, well, all you have to do is look at the neuronal development, I think, in a species. That gives you some clue. It doesn't tell you the whole story, but it does give you some ideas about their ability to be aware of their surroundings and how they react to it and whether or not their reactions to these stimuli are being processed in such a way that they are able to actually visualize what's happening to them, where they can think abstractly about them. So because of this, if somebody wants to fry up a sponge, have at it. Delicioso, all right? Eat all the sponges you want. You know, if you want to eat a planarian, I don't know why you would want to. just hope it doesn't split into multiple pieces and go gets into your liver. But if you want to eat a planarian, a flatworm, feel free to go ahead and do that. All right. I'm not really. I don't think they're going. Oh my gosh, the pain. I just don't think that's happening.
So you're quasi-vegetarian.
I am.
Or sorry, vegan.
Well, it's funny. Veganism can be viewed in a variety of different ways. I am not a Jain. All right. I'm vegan. All right. So, but you can look at it philosophically, and then some people look at it. And by the way, yes, just like unfortunately, there are many different atheists. There are different vegans, and so yes, I mean, I'm the one. I look at life in a way that is very hierarchical. I try to respect all life, though. Like one of my colleagues stepped on an ant the other day, and I was like, why? Why did you do that? The ant wasn't even bothering you. Like, why did you do that? And it really disturbed me because, again, it was just a senseless act of violence for no reason. And even though I may not say, oh, that ant could visualize its demise or anything, again, it was just unnecessary to snuff out a life. In that instance. But I actually wrote down a list. Let's see here. Ah, here it is. Yeah, so sponges, and I'm going from like less order to higher order, like sponges, your worms, your insects, fish, reptiles, and birds, mammals, and then of course your allegedly higher end mammals like us. Do we look at these things differently? Most people do. Some vegans would argue we should not. However, but I see their point too, though. I know that I kill life every day, even without trying. I'm killing things right now in my gut. I probably just breathed in something that's going to... I killed with mucus just a few moments ago. I can't help that. So
Your soy burger happened to involve some mice in the field that got caught up in the thresher. That
indeed,
kind of a thing.
Indeed.
While I will say it as a joke, some people actually asininely bring it up as a serious argument against veganism.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And they don't understand. It's like, well, yeah, but if we had a more vegan-conscious society, we would put more controls in place, actually, to prevent those needless deaths of rodents and other mammals and insects and whatnot.
Even lacking that,
mm-hmm.
because I think you will hit a hard limit on how much you can reduce anything like that.
Indeed.
Not only because of practicality, but also because of ecology. You need a certain amount of those kinds of pest animals in your field to maintain shit. You're also going to have the issue of the cow that I ate for dinner tonight was fed on grains, which were grown in a field, which has exactly the same problem that we're talking about you
having. Right. And it's even double worse.
So I added a cow.
Exactly. I had
every field mouse you ate, every, you know, cockroach, every grasshopper, whatever, plus a cow.
So it's even worse. Yeah. So, but again, and again, guys, it's about reducing needless suffering, pains, torture, and death. If we can avoid those things, let's try to avoid those things to the best of our abilities. I don't expect everyone in the world to be perfect. I'm not perfect. But in making excuses because we're not perfect to continue our bad habits, it just does an injustice, I think, to animals all over the planet and even our fellow human beings. I think we become a more compassionate, more sensitive, more caring society, I think, if we can recognize the beauty, I think, in all life and just not one particular kind of life. With that said, guys, unfortunately, I have to go.
What about us people who are perfect?
Oh yeah, I know, right? The gods of the internet here, but
or dragons.
With that said, though, guys, unfortunately, I can't continue. I have to sign off. I do have a student that I have to tutor tonight in biology.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Reginald. It was very nice to talk to you, and it was an awesome talk.
Thank you, guys.
It was a fun conversation.
It was great.
I feel like I've learned a few things.
Same here. Thank you so much, guys. Wonderful show. Appreciate it. Good questions from the audience. All right.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Oh, so I messed up everything, but...
I'm going to go eat a burger now.
Well, thanks for joining us, Inane, as well. It was fun talk. I liked it.
It was definitely interesting.
Perfect.
And I love the new podcast look. So much dragon.
So much dragon. There we go. You got dragon and a non sequitur all on the same side now. Thanks, chat, for joining us as well.
There's more dragon than there is cranium. Oh, now it's
no,
just
no,
more
no.
cranium.
Just Damn way it. More cranium. That's all you need is way more cranium. Thanks, Chad, for joining us. Thank you for the super chats, guys. It was awesome. Thanks. Have a good night.